Welcome to Get It Done Entrepreneurs, where we talk with founders of companies who bet on themselves and won. My name is Rich LeBrun, and I am the founder and CEO of LeBrun Advisory Group. You can find us at rlebrun.com. Our mission is to help our clients build wealth through business ownership. Stick around to the end of the show, and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest. Let me introduce you to our guest today, Mark Murphy. Mark is founder and CEO of Northeast Sequoia Private Client Group, a national financial planning and wealth management firm. As the CEO of his firm, Mark is highly sought after in key business as a key business strategist and a critical thinker. Mark is an accomplished CEO, author, speaker, motivator, and podcast host who is transforming the financial planning and wealth management industry with his innovative and forward-thinking approach. He is passionate about empowering entrepreneurs to achieve multi-generational wealth by providing personalized strategies that focus on emotional fitness, wealth accumulation, and a plan that can work under all circumstances. Mark has been ranked number one in New Jersey and number three in the nation on the 2023 Forbes America's Top Financial Security Professionals list. In addition, he has achieved the status of being the number one best-selling author on Amazon. And his third book, The Ultimate Investment, A Roadmap to Grow Your Business and Build Multi-Generational Wealth, is ranked as number one new release on Amazon. He's a frequent guest speaker on topics ranging from practice merger, acquisition strategies, estate planning, charitable giving, and strategies to build multi-generational wealth. And to top it off, Mark's podcast, The Hero of the Hour, has earned a spot in the top 40 in the United States, securing it its place is the highly competitive categories of business and entrepreneurship. All that to say, welcome, Mark, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. So happy to be with you.
Great, impressive resume, and I only read a quarter of it, so you have a lot more to offer.
I was going to say, the only one who would appreciate that, Rich, is my mother. You know, she died 2 years ago, so she...
Well, she did well. That's what she did well. Mark, as we discussed earlier, what we like to hear is generally we start off, we just love to hear your story. When did you first become an entrepreneur? You know, what were some of the hurdles you had overcome? What were things you would do differently knowing what you know today? And some of the victories that got you to where you are today. If you go ahead and just tell us your story, that'd be great.
Yeah, actually, I think, I would go back to my freshman year of high school in the sense that, I thought I was a pretty good athlete, thought I was a pretty good basketball player, but I was overweight, not in the best shape, but not in bad shape, but I was overweight. And I was playing on a very, and our school was very, very competitive in basketball. In fact, the guys we wound up playing with, one played the NBA and won a national championship for football. And, you know, there were some pretty talented people that went on to, you know, sports careers. It wasn't your typical high school. And I remember getting cut my freshman year for the basketball team. And, you know, a lot of people made the freshman team, and not a lot of people made the JV team, and very few people made the varsity team. But if you get cut at the freshman level, it was kind of like devastating. And I made up my mind when I got cut that day that I was not going to just leave it at that. And so, you know, with a combination of a little bit of growth, I think I was probably about 5'4", I don't know, maybe 5'4", maybe, I don't know, over 200 pounds for sure. And by the time I showed up for sophomore tryouts for the JV team, I was 5'9", and, you know, I was 165 pounds. And, you know, and by the time I was a junior, you know, or a senior, I was 6'2", and 165 pounds. and the idea was that I just wasn't willing to get outworked. I was going to do everything that I could. You know, I have good athletic ability, but some of those guys could jump out of the gym. They were dunking basketballs. They were, high vertical leaps. And what I realized is that if I was willing to not get outworked by anybody, and I felt that the strongest thing I had was my brain. So what I always wanted to do is I got better. You know, by the sophomore year, I made the team. Probably if there was 15 guys on the JV team, I was probably 14th or 15th man on the bench. I went in with 43 seconds left when we were up or down by 40 points. And the first game I ever started was the time I was a senior. So most of the times the guys who start as a senior have been starting since they were in third grade. And, you know, I never started a game until senior year. And what was so great about, you know, that is that, you know, you just kept going bigger and bigger. And, you know, one of the things I used to do is I used to watch, I said, well, what's one thing I can do? And so I always used to like to cover the best player on the other team, just because you could use your mind. I could talk to him. I could figure out where he wanted to be on the court and score his points from. And I would try not to let him get to that spot because they wanted to be in some places. Remember, it was high school basketball, not the NBA. So I would just try to take him out of their comfort zone. And I just put an entire approach, both mental and physical. And the idea to me is, did I have some great stellar career? Was I an All-American high school player? I wasn't. But I realized I got the very, very best out of my ability in high school. And I used that mentality to do everything that I ever did in my life. And I realized that if you were willing to be obsessive about something, you could get it. And, you know, and that not only means wealth, it means health, it means love, it means purpose, it means all the things that are in your life. And, you know, ultimately that was sort of a game changer. The other thing that was a game changer on that, Rich, was that, I realized that when I could achieve the highest level that I could achieve, meaning I got more out, as much out of my ability as anybody on the planet, what I realized is it also freed me to be the biggest cheerleader for everybody else. Because I'm not competing against you, Rich. I'm competing against my ability to succeed. And if I've done the very, very best that I can do, I've left nothing on the court, nothing in the classroom, nothing for my clients, nothing for my family. If I've done everything that I could, well, then if something good happened to me, Rich, I hope something great happened to you. If I have a dollar, I hope you have 100. And it allowed me to, it freed me to truly be a cheerleader and truly from an organic place, care about other people. And then, you know, when I got out of the Kelly Business School in Indiana, I'm now on the board at, not at Kelly, but at the Indiana University's, the National Varsity Club board. Which I'm so proud of and so happy to serve. You know, the firm that I now run, they offered me $1,000 a month, not a salary, but a draw against commissions. I took that $1,000 because it was $1,000 a month more than I was making. And I took that finance degree, and you know, we've turned it into a pretty good company, something we're proud of at Northeast Private Client Group. And so that's my story.
So through your youth and sports is always a great teacher on the court or off the court. You built a great work ethic. You're going to outwork everybody else. And you kind of came to your true self through that exercise. What was it? When did you know you wanted to be an entrepreneur? Because you could have taken that into corporate America and just stayed that path. But you went out and branched off on your and started something.
I think you know, at the end of the day, I think many entrepreneurs are unemployable. Now, I'm sure I could have worked for somebody else, but I always thought that there was such adventure and challenge and in terms of working for yourself, and I realized that I was, you know, that I'm always at my best when I'm serving others, and so the idea is that it allowed me to have that this allowed me being the, you know, now the CEO of Northeast Private Client Group became my vehicle to make other people's lives better. And I think being an entrepreneur, I could more directly control that than if I was employed for somebody else or by somebody
and
else.
How long ago did you start your firm?
1985. So next year we'll have our 40th anniversary.
All right. So you've weathered a few storms, a couple of recessions, I'll throw COVID in there and some prosperous economies, but just curious, looking back, you know, if you look at 1985, you could talk to yourself today from what you know today back then, would you be telling yourself to do anything differently?
Yeah. I'd say the biggest thing I always said is I used to worry a lot. I don't know about you, but I used to worry a lot in my 20s and 30s, maybe into my mid to late 40s. And I spent a lot of effort and energy worrying about things that most of it never happened. And if I could tell my, you know, 22-year-old self, I would have told them, you know, it's going to be okay and not to worry about that stuff and put the energy only in things you can control.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how many people were with you when you first started? Was it just you?
It was me. You know, it was me. And, you know, now there's about 50 of us. But it was, it was just me. And a few years later, there was a part-time assistant, and it kind of went from there.
Yeah, that's just the way to do it, the way to grind it out and make it happen. And you are that person. You are the entire team when you start out as a sole entrepreneur. But you also have, you know, you would tell yourself not to worry as much, and I get that. Did you hit a few bumps in the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it's funny. I've been very fortunate in the sense that, I started in 85, in 86 and 87, I'm doing okay, but not great. And then I went home Labor Day of 1988, and I was $20,000 in credit card debt because I was, all the money center banks were lining up to lend me money, with this failed business I had. And Visa was the only bank that was lending me money. So I had about $20,000 on my credit card, was kind of maxed out. And I went home Labor Day weekend of 88. And, I was not feeling very good about myself. I wasn't feeling very good about what was happening in the business. And I just said, I'm smart. I'm educated. I'm going to give this till the end of the year. And if it doesn't work out, I'm going to go get a job. And, I think over the last 4 months of the year, I remember I made $127,000, and which was at that time all the money in the world. And I don't think I've ever looked back since then. And, it was I just went back to what I learned playing high school basketball. And I've just continued to and it's not just not hard work. I think it also is, I'm not afraid to be different. I'm afraid to be the same. There's some mantras, meaning I don't want to just have conventional thinking. If not, you're just like everybody else. I'm happy to have a seat at your table, but I want to build my own damn table.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the thing that you take a look at, I think that's been the foundation of our thinking for the last 38 years has been that I realize, although, you can get competitive returns and things like stocks and bonds and other things like that, the best investments, entrepreneurial people, and that not only means business owners, but people have an entrepreneurial mindset, make is when they invest in themselves. And so every investment that I've made, the best investments I've had, how I've created multi-generational wealth for myself and for thousands of others, has been by making sure that they got rid of their expenses, because you're an expense, you should be on the chopping block. But if you're an investment, as long as you can get a minimum of 4 or 5 to 1 return on your money or more, you should have an unlimited appetite for investment. And so I've just continued to invest in myself and have other people invest in themselves. And that's how we've done it. You really had a
pivotal time in 1988, because you were $20,000 upside down. That wonderful interest rate to charge credit cards companies were charging you for preferred customers. And it was like a do or die, and you just, if I heard you correctly, you hunkered down like you did in your high school sports, and you just outworked yourself, let's put it that way, because you're the only one in the office, and good things happened to you. And it turned the corner for you to where you are today. That's phenomenal.
I think in entrepreneurial thinking, it's never the problem. It's how you think about the problem. That's all the issue. And so part of it is that I think you want to have some unconventional thinking around the problem. Because if you do what everybody else does, you're going to be just like everybody else. And I think you want to be somebody that can make a difference in the lives of people you touch. And it's not by just doing the same old, not just by hard work. It's not just by caring. You need to know all of those things, but it's also that, that's why I always sort of say that at this point, I'm sort of a key business. I am a key business strategist and critical thinker for folks, because I think that's what they're looking for.
Yeah. It's a lot of start critical thinking. Let's stay looking backwards a little bit, but you did some really good things. Obviously you outworked yourself and you survived that 1998 era. But what are some other key decisions, maybe one or two, that you said, I'm really glad I made that decision. They were pivotal for me to be successful today.
I go back to expenses, which I just mentioned. And I think people are always looking to cut expenses. And by the way, I think expenses, especially expenses where you're not getting a great return on your money, or the juice isn't worth the squeeze, you should cut those expenses, but not to save them, to be able to take that savings and reinvest it in something you can get a higher rate of return. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately that was the critical piece, is that, you know, ultimately the law of money to me was, the two golden rules were, one is your money had to work while you were sleeping, and two is your business had to produce revenue without you performing the task. And there's only 24 hours in the day, and you're only one person. So the real critical issue was not how, but who do you need to collaborate with? Who do you need to invest in? What do you need to invest in to be able to grow something? Because, you know, by yourself, I'm only one person, and, you know, I only have 24 hours in the day. And so I had to think differently in terms of, instead of trying to save my way to prosperity, which I don't think you can ever do, I need to invest my way into prosperity and spend my way into prosperity.
I get the idea of, you know, I love the idea that while I'm sleeping, I'm making money. But it's harder when you're an entrepreneur to find a way to generate income or invest or increase your wealth that doesn't include you. So, you know, as you said, your second rule was, how can I invest or create revenue that doesn't necessarily attach itself to me? Can you give us an example of how that would look?
Well, the answer is, from the very base of it, when I hired an assistant to help me with tasks, it wasn't so that I could take a nap in the afternoon, or I could play more golf, or I could, you know, go home and watch, at the time, Oprah Winfrey on TV, or whoever was on, you know, Dr. Phil. I don't know who's on the afternoon talk shows these days. But it was so that if I had X number of hours a week to meet with prospects or to meet with people that could help me get to prospects, if I could have other people in my office doing those tasks for me, that it would allow me to say, hey, what if I work, just let's say between conferences and holidays and vacations, let's say you work 46 weeks a year. So if I could, by leveraging myself and get five more meetings a week over 46 weeks, how much is my time worth in front of a client just by leveraging five more meetings? Well, that allowed me to do that. And then you sit back by, so that would be allowed. That sort of was leveraging myself, so that ultimately I thought, wow, I'm making a lot more money and I've got people working for me, but I've still got to be the sauce, because remember, I didn't leverage other people. I'd leverage other people to leverage me.
Mm-hmm.
But then ultimately the next step on that would be to then work on the marketing side of your business to create an abundance of new clients, so that not only could I not handle them, that I now needed to handle and hire other advisors to help advise those folks. So that when I was sitting meeting with a client at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, at this point now we have 12 other advisors that are meeting with somebody at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I'm not there. And so there's 13 meetings at 2 o'clock today that I'm going to be making money from, or hope to make money from.
Yeah. You know, I love that idea. And obviously you mentioned in the beginning that you like to be called a strategist, and you built a machine. Okay. You incrementally, you hired an assistant, gave you more freedom to do what you need to do, maximize your revenue. Then you're able to then spend more time and to bring in additional advisors. So, but you built this over time. Great story. Great idea. Let me shift here just for sake of time. I'll make sure we get a chance to give you a commercial break. Okay, so this is your time to speak to our listeners, promote an event, a book. I know you have a book that's out, or just tell us more about who your customers are, should those who are listening be able to utilize your service.
Well, you know, as I said, I don't believe in competition. I believe in differentiation. And, you know, so I was so proud you mentioned it at the top of the show. I think we had the number one book on Amazon last year called The Ultimate Investment. But when I started Northeast Private Client Group and Sequoia Private Client Group, this was my vehicle to make other people's lives better. And so, you know, we basically built it into a company where I believe we have the ability to help virtually anybody create multi-generational wealth. And, you know, with the right strategy. And, you know, and the second is, for people that do have multi-generational wealth, and we do have some of those clients, it's amazing how very few of them, by the end of the third generation, there was a Williams study that of 3,200 ultra high net worth families. And by the end of the third generation, 90% of them did not have that wealth anymore. So the idea is everybody thinks they're going to be in the 10%, but they're going to be in the 90. And so the idea is that, you know, all I wanted to do is help people not create wealth because I wanted them to create wealth. I really wanted to help people create the lives that they want to create. I think that ultimately at this point in my career is I use this as a platform because I'd like to improve the lives of 100 million people on this planet. Now, again, using my philosophy, I'm only one person, so I can't do that directly. But I think indirectly, through the work that we do, we have a shot to do it. And it's going to be awfully fun, dying and trying to go do that at the same time, because it's all good things, and it all comes from abundance.
Fantastic. Now, is there because you're in the wealth building business, is there a minimum net worth or anything?
I'm usually looking for people that are big thinkers. I'm looking for people that appreciate our expertise. I'm looking for people that are looking to be in transformational, not transactional relationships. I like loyalty. I like, folks, but if somebody's a good person, I'd be willing to sit down with them, or we'd be willing to sit down with anybody that really wanted to make a difference. They really wanted to improve, they really wanted to get what they wanted out of life. I think so many people settle and say good enough, good is good enough. And, I think this is our only chance at life. And so, rather than just talk about creating wealth, I want people to create the lives they want. And sometimes wealth is a part of it, or sometimes wealth gives you the freedom to be able to implement the other things that you want in your life. But the idea is it's really about changing lives. It's really not just about money, even though we manage billions of dollars.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that clarification. That is a differentiator out there. You definitely have a holistic look at this, to the whole person and their life. And wealth is just one line item in that equation, an important one, but just one. All right, Mark, I want to shift to the last segment of the show here. It's destiny 2022-23. We had, I think, all the headwinds you can think of: labor, inflation, politics, war, you name it. We had it all going on in our country at one time. We made it through 22, 23. It was kind of like the hangover, still had some of that. We're not done with it. 24 still has some of it lingering on. But you're running a company. You see the headwinds. You have to navigate those, both for yourself and for your clients. Do you see it as a time to grow, time to retreat, time to hunker down, sit on the bench, send the sidelines, or just get in the game and play full out? How are you navigating these crazy times?
First of all, it's all BS. And by that, I mean belief systems. Mm-hmm. And so when people tell me, here's what I hear a lot, Rich, I'll have somebody call me and say, if Joe Biden gets reelected, the world is coming to an end. If Donald Trump gets reelected, the world is coming to an end. Or any combination version of what the world is coming to an end or not. And I try to remind our clients, depending on their age, is you did pretty well during Reagan and then during Bush and then during Obama and then the second Bush or Clinton and then the second Bush and then Obama and then Trump and now Biden. Let's take a reality check first and say we are not going to be controlled by outside functions in terms of how we think about abundance. Having said that, there is some reality. You can't look at something and just pretend that it doesn't exist. But I do think with strategic thinking, you can choose not to participate in that recession, or you can choose not to participate in those things by changing your tactics. And I think that if you just have the same game plan, you're open for disruption in your business, in your life, in your finances. Mm-hmm. And I think you've got to be proactive at I think what people pay us to do is peek around corners and to make sure that we are proactive or ahead of the curve rather than behind the curve. And I think that it's a mindset thing. And by the way, bad things happen to good people. Bad things or setbacks happen to me. It happens to you. It happens to other people. And I think you've got to deal with the issue. You can't look at it through rose-colored glasses. But I think your mind has to go immediately to what's great about that. Like I was talking to one of the kids a few months ago, and they broke up with their significant other, and it's okay to mourn the loss of the relationship for a period of time, for a short period of time, a reasonable period of time. Mm-hmm. But I think your mind has to go, what's great about that? That person wasn't the right person for me. And now I've freed up a lot of time to go find the right person. You know, and I think that you also shouldn't be afraid to take risks, because I could give you a list of a dozen things I did that I spent at least $10,000 on that wound up nowhere, other than it helped in my education. It was a form of market research. Mm-hmm. And had I not done those things that didn't failed, I wouldn't have done two or three things that we made tens of millions of dollars on.
Right. Yeah. You know, I love that thinking. I never kind of put it in perspective. I did not have to participate in the recession. Who knew that we had a choice? You did.
because there are things that you can do. And I realize in certain industries and certain things there are some realities. But I think part of it is your job is to realize that people think like a recession is never going to affect me. Raising interest rates is not going to affect my life or my business. Getting sick, so a death, something. You know, you can talk about any kind of sort of what I'll call roadblock or worse. And at the end of the day, that part of it is with careful thinking and preparation, you can anticipate these things happening. You know, I was a competitive chess player growing up in high school, and I was also a master's bridge player. In fact, if I freed up more time, I'd probably play some more bridge. So I always thought 13 tricks ahead or 8 moves ahead going forward. And so the idea is that these cycles or what's possibly could happen that could set you back or some category of that could set you back don't seem to change. So why are people like caught flat-footed, like, I can't believe this happened? And they're sitting there like, you could have easily predicted that the unpredictable would have happened. You could have predicted that some of those things can happen. And if it doesn't, great. But if it does, that's why most people get knocked down and stay down.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I love that. Looking around the corner. And I use the word adapt. Most of the founders that I talk to said you have to see it. I love the fact that you don't have to participate in it, but you definitely could adapt to it or adapt around it. I appreciate that. But Mark, you're also a human being. You have to get up every Monday morning and you got to get yourself ready to lead the charge. What are some things that you do personally? Do you use mentors? Are you a reader? You're an athlete? What do you do?
Everybody should have a coach. I think if the best athletes in the world and almost every Fortune 500 CEO that I know has a coach, I think everybody should always have a coach. I think that's number one. But I also think that it's also about, the Japanese phrase. I was exposed to that a couple of years ago called Igakai. I think I'm pronouncing it correctly. And so I look through everything from the prism of four questions. Do I have passion for the project? Am I good at it? Does the world need that product or service? And can I get paid to do that? And so at this point in my life, you know, people will always say like a question like this is almost another version of this, Rich, would be, tell me about your business life or your personal life. And I always mm-hmm. say, I just have a life. I've just designed something that I go from one thing I like to something I like more to something I like more than that. And so every day is different. I can do what I want to do. And I think that's the definition of an entrepreneur is that, and somebody who, or maybe the definition of success is that you can do what you want, when you want, with who you want. And be able to control that. And I think that's why so many more people, you know, would that's the joys of entrepreneurship.
So you don't compartmentalize. You say I'm living my life. My life includes some personal stuff, business stuff, you know, and I put it all together because I'm doing things that I want to do. Is that correct?
Yeah. And as I've got 5 kids, so now 1.5 are in the business. Hopefully once she graduates, she'll be here full time next year. And maybe more of the kids will be part of as we start to form our own family office and do other things. But I think that ultimately it's about just enjoying, the freedom, freedom of time, freedom of relationships to work with who you want to work with, and also the freedom of purpose. And so, yeah. That's what the freedom is about. And, money helps you get there, but I mean, that ultimately it's not about the money. It's about enjoying the freedoms, the real freedoms in your life, which are those freedoms to me.
Yeah. So I like the way you blend your family, having your couple of your family members in the business as well. That's also got to be very rewarding. Well, Mark, this has been great. I always want to say to all my guests, I am just grateful for you taking time out of your busy day to share your insights and wisdom with them, our listeners. So thank you for taking the time. If our listeners want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
Well, Mark is spelled with a K. So it's mark_murphy@northeastprivate.com. And, you know, our headquarters is in Roseland, New Jersey. And love to hear from anybody with any questions or anything I can do to help enrich their lives.
Very good. And we'll have all that information in the notes in the podcast. This podcast will be published formally in the next 2 to 3 weeks on all podcast platforms. Mark, thanks again for taking the time today. It was really a wonderful chance to get a chance to meet you.
Well, appreciate you. And thank you to all your viewers and listeners. I'm honored to be part of the podcast.
Thanks again. I hope you have a great day. Rich LeBrun here. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, Get It Done Entrepreneurs. If you are a successful business owner who would like to be on this program, please visit us at rlebrun.com/podcast and fill out the form and we will reach out to you. If you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media? Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone that would be a great guest, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag GetItDoneEntrepreneurs. I love seeing your posts and guest suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, rlebrun.com, or follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks for listening. We will see you next time.